Chapter 21, The Accident of Nature. Well, all of us had to go down to the police station, of course, where they took a bunch of pictures of the bruises on my neck, and then they insisted I needed x-rays, so we had to go over to the hospital and get that done, and then go back to the police station again, which wore on my nerves almost as much as being kidnapped. Grim, the second time we go to the cops, he's sitting there in this room with me waiting, and he says, I can't tell you what it felt like coming up out of that basement and seeing that double track of footprints in the snow. I knew it was him. I just knew in my heart. He kept insisting that Graham go home, which she finally did, because we were there at the police station for hours more, me telling all about it over and over, until I thought I would faint dead away if just one more person asked me what happened after I woke up in the dark and was stolen from my own bed. Grim, he just keeps patting me on the arm and saying, this is important, Max. Maybe this time they'll lock him up for good. That's what everybody keeps saying. This time they've got Killer Kane where they want him. In violation of parole, in violation of a restraining order, abduction of a minor, and 2 counts of attempted murder. Me and the heroic biker babe, which is what the papers took to calling Loretta Lee. The word is she's hurt pretty bad because he cracked a bone in her neck, but she'll be okay in the long run. Iggy, when I saw him at the hospital waiting, he was chewing a hole right through his beard. He was so worried, and it made me think that he wasn't such a bad dude after all. It all goes to show, like Grimm says, that you can't always judge a book by its cover. It turns out that to be a pretty weird Christmas vacation, as you might imagine. And Graham keeps fussing at me and won't let me sleep in the cellar. I don't care if he is under lock and key, she says. Grim, he says, please humor the woman. She's worried about it to death. And so I sleep upstairs on the fold-out at night, and Graham keeps checking to see that I'm there, which is a pain, but she can't help herself. And anyhow, I'm just as glad not to be alone in the down under. Freak. Well, the fair Gwen just about threw a fit when she got him home because of him just disobeying a direct order and sneaking away to rescue me. But after a while, she calms down and all she does is just look at him and shake her head. What am I going to do with you? She asks. Put me up for adoption, he says. I want to go live with the Waltons. He means that TV show that keeps repeating, and of course he's teasing, but the fair Gwen is not amused. No more crazy adventures or dangerous quests, young man. You have to be careful, she keeps saying. Extra careful. She means the trouble that he has sometimes catching his breath because of the way his insides keep growing faster than his outsides, which hasn't really grown at all. Freak goes into the medical research place every few months now, which he says is a real pain, not that it actually hurts. Dr. Spivak says my unique status as a marvel of genetic aberration makes me an object of his intense curiosity. He says that in that lofty way of his. Specialists from the world over are familiar with my case. What about the secret operation, I ask, when the fair Gwen can't hear us? The one where you'll get a robot body? Freak gets this very cool scientific look on his face, and he always says the same thing. The bionic research continues, my friend. The work goes on. I don't know why he keeps asking, because it gives me the creeps. You'd think I could be as cool about it as Freak is, because it's him that's going to be getting the bionic body, but just thinking about it makes me want to jump up and run around. I keep telling Graham that when Freak is in the hospital for his tests, I shouldn't have to go to school, because we're a team, but she won't buy it. I know Kevin has been a great help to you, she says, but you've got a brain of your own, haven't you, dear? You're right. The other thing about the school that's different after Christmas vacation is how jealous everybody is that we got our pictures in the paper and on the local TV. Mrs. Donnelly in English calls us the dynamic duo, and she puts out a cut-up picture from the paper up on the bulletin board. Wouldn't you know, some goon put mustaches on us on the very first day. Freak says he looks cool with a mustache, and he can't wait to grow one, and he makes Mrs. Donnelly leave the picture up. Me, I just as soon forget about the whole thing. I really hate the idea of having to testify at the trial and tell what really happened. But everybody says I have to if I want him locked up for the rest of his life, which I do. especially after what he tried to do to poor Loretta, who was only trying to help. They can't make you if you don't want to, Freak says. A son does not have to testify against his father. Graham thinks it'll do me good. Plus, he's really worried that he'll get off again or fool the jury by quoting from the Bible. Graham worries too much, Freak says. Everybody worries too much. The way it finally turns out with Killer Kane, Freak is right. Because just before the trial is supposed to start and I've got my fingernails chewed down to the second knuckle, Graham gets this telephone call that makes him punch his fist in the air and go, yes, yes. What happened is they made a deal and Killer Kane pled guilty, which means he has to serve out the rest of his original sentence plus 10 more years. He'll be an old man when he gets out, Graham says. He'll be older than me. That should make me happy, but instead I feel really weird and worried. And Graham, who still thinks he knows everything, says, I just have to get used to the idea. The man is an accident of nature, he says. All you got from him is your looks and your size. You got your mother's heart, and that's what counts. The weird thing is I keep thinking about what if something happens when I get older and I turn out to be another accident of nature. Graham sees me thinking about that one night just before bed, and he sits at the end of the fold-out, and he says, things will make a lot more sense when you finish growing up, Maxwell. Now sleep tight and don't let the bed bugs bite. Graham means well, I know that, but sometimes he says the numbest things. Because it's growing up that worries me.